because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Monday, July 23rd, 2018. So here's the summary. If I had to hang my hat on a single broadcast for this many years that I've done this, it would be Friday's National Intel Report that I guest hosted. And I had kind of been dancing around that subject matter for, I would say, weeks at this point. But I think it really all sort of comes down to that. You know, for us in America, and what it means to be American, what is there anything that's uniquely American? Perhaps, perhaps not. But I think it really comes down to a very narrow sort of discussion that I think is exemplified in those three letters from John Adams to his John Adams letter to Hezekiah Niles, February 13, 1818, and his two letters to William Tudor on June 1 and June 9, 1818, that are a very guiding light for us in America out of the bog in which we find ourselves today, which is not terribly unique. Really, because again, as Congressman Larry McDonald observed, as far as the politics of government are concerned, not much changes. If you read the founders, you get the same sense. They're reflecting on thousands of years of recorded history, as if it, you know, they read it in this morning's news. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty remarkable. And we're so smart today. We're much smarter than they, right? We're much more knowledgeable with all of these tools. You know, do we have the intellectual Olympics every year? We celebrate intellect, right? People who read are considered, oh no, we don't. Anyway. So, anyway, just to sort of summarize, again, I think if I had to, I would hang my hat on those 2 hours, and maybe if I had to pick one, it might be the second. Probably for the resources that are linked, if for no other reason, the calls need to be included in there. I should do that. I'll do that today. Anyway. for what it's worth, I mean, that to me is a message worth passing on. It seemed important enough to John Adams to say, for example, I mean, these two sentiments, you know, it comes down to this. Again, the letter to William Tudor, June 1, 1818, John Adams writing, he writes, "I sincerely believe Mr. Otis, James Otis, to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. It seems to me of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten." Who's heard of James Otis in America? Isn't that ironic? And in the same fashion, again, to Hezekiah Niles, he wrote, "By what means this great and important alteration in the religious, moral, political, and social character of the people of 13 colonies, all distinct, unconnected, and independent of each other, was begun, pursued, and accomplished, it is surely interesting to humanity to investigate and perpetuate to posterity. To this end, it is greatly to be desired that young gentlemen of letters in all states, especially in the 13 original states, would undertake the laborious but certainly interesting and amusing task of searching and collecting all the records, pamphlets, newspapers, and even handbills, which in any way contributed to change the temper and views of the people and compose them into an independent nation." The colonies had grown up under constitutions of government so different. There was so great a variety of religions. They were composed of so many different nations. Their customs, manners, and habits had so little resemblance, and their intercourse, direct communication, had been so rare, that their knowledge of each other so imperfect, that to unite them in the same principles, in the theory, and the same system of action was certainly a very difficult enterprise. A very difficult enterprise. Don't we have greater tools in a Gutenberg era today than they did then? You know, you might, I don't know, I would argue that we do. "The complete accomplishment of it in so short a time," John Adams wrote, "and by such simple means, was perhaps a singular example in the history of mankind. 13 clocks were made to strike together, a perfection of mechanism which no artist had ever before effected." I mean, it comes down to that. You can't do better than that. Why would you try to reinvent that wheel? Bad guys don't. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And historians of varied feather agree the American Revolution was unique, and bad guys have been trying to say, yeah, well, you know, we didn't mean that by those documents. I mean, it was, you know, it was for some people, but not all people. And but again, that's why we go back to James Otis. That was for a bunch of blah, 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 blah. You know, it was only for a bunch of rich white guys. Well, that's why I think it's important to read what John Adams wrote about James Otis, because he dispels those sorts of myths. Again, from his letter, June 1, remember, he says 57 years later, "I'll try to hint at some of the heads of his discourse that are so indelibly imprinted on my mind after 57 years. A dissertation." So what was James Otis talking about? Remember? "A dissertation on the rights of man in a state of nature. He asserted that every man merely natural was an independent sovereign subject to no law, but the law written on his heart and revealed to him by his maker in the constitution of his nature and the inspiration of his understanding and his conscience." This is the sort of sentiment that I see in some of the old 50s TV, some of the old, you know, the older movies. Like I say, you know, before the rise of the CIA, you saw in many of these shows. And there was, you know, there were scandals. I mean, there was a scandalous movie era of the 30s. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that it was perfect. But, you know, in a lot of these television programs and movies, it was an entirely different message. Even the bad guys were good. And now, even the good guys are bad. There are no good guys depicted. You know, the good guys will use the same sort of nefarious means that the bad guys use. That's what they do. That's how we catch a bad guy. We behave like a bad guy. No, that just makes you a bad guy. So, you know, to have the criminal make a jailhouse confession, the preacher comes in, son, have you made your peace with God yet? Have you made your peace with your maker yet? No. No, I haven't. I guess I should do that, huh, Reverend? That kind of stuff. So, John Adams wrote, these are some of the things that James Otis talked about in his 1761 defense of the Boston merchants against the acts of trade as revenue laws and against writs of assistance, specifically as a tyrannical engine to execute them. It was writs of assistance, particularly, as I understand it. Anyway, so James Otis asserted that every man, merely natural, was an independent sovereign, subject to no law, but the law written on his heart and revealed to him by his maker in the constitution of his nature and the inspiration of his understanding and his conscience. And we all have one. Technocrats would have you believe otherwise. His right to his life, his liberty, no created being could rightfully contest, nor was his right to property less incontestable. The club that he had snapped from a tree for a staff or for defense was his own. His bow and arrow were his own. If by a pebble he had killed a partridge or a squirrel, it was his own. No creature, man or beast, had a right to take it from him. If he had taken an eel or a smelt or a sculpin, it was his property. In short, he sported upon this topic with so much wit and humor, and at the same time so much indisputable truth and reason, that he was not less entertaining than instructive. You know, it's interesting. Bad guys come along and say, hey, you know what, we'll, I don't know, whatever, give you something that you think you can't get otherwise. And then, you know, it's basically a form of legalized slavery. And it'd be interesting if we re-examined this concept of property, wouldn't it? If you know what I mean. You know, if people just got together and did the same sort of thing that they do when bad guys create their little parlor tricks, their little Jedi mind tricks. He asserted that these rights were inherent and inalienable, that they never could be surrendered or alienated but by idiots or madmen, and all the acts of idiots and lunatics were void and not obligatory by all the laws of God and man. Nor were the poor Negroes forgotten. See? This point of controversy that we've misremembered, been encouraged to misremember in W fashion. Not a Quaker in Philadelphia or Mr. Jefferson of Virginia. Why did he say that? Ever asserted the rights of Negroes in stronger terms. Young as I was and ignorant as I was, I shuddered at the doctrine he taught. And I have all my life shuddered and still shudder at the consequences that may be drawn from such premises. Why did he say that? Shall we say that the rights of masters and servants clash or can be decided by only by force? I adore the idea of gradual abolitions. But who shall decide how fast or slow these abolitions shall be made? Is that the way that we're taught to remember history in America? I don't think so. From individual independence, he proceeded to association. if it was inconsistent with the dignity of human nature to say that men were gregarious animals like wild horses and geese, wild geese, it surely could offend no delicacy to say they were social animals by nature. That there were mutual sympathies, and above all, the sweet attraction of the sexes, which must soon draw them together in little groups, and by degrees in larger congregations for mutual assistance and defense. And this must have happened before any formal covenant by express words or signs was concluded. When general councils and deliberations commenced, the objects could be no other than mutual defense and security of every individual for his life, his liberty, and his property. See, it's just a reinforcement of the former, right? The individual. Without the individual, there is no group. But today that's been flipped on its head and we've lost the individual. Anyway, continuing. To suppose them to have surrendered these in any other way than by equal rules and general consent was to suppose them idiots or madmen, whose acts were never binding. Are we a nation? I've asked this before, but are we a nation of idiots and madmen now in these terms? To suppose them surprised by fraud or compelled by force in any other compact, such fraud and such force could not confer, or excuse me, such fraud and such force could confer no obligation. I think I hear Jim in Illinois. Every man had a right to trample it underfoot when he pleased. In short, he asserted these rights to be derived only from nature and the author of nature, that they were inherent, inalienable, and indefeasible by any laws, pacts, contracts, covenants, or stipulations which man could devise. Do you hear this language? Do you realize why perhaps John Adams refers to James Otis as the lightning rod that, my words, but the lightning rod who was the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men, being that, you know, courageous to actually tell it like it is. These principles and these rights were wrought into the English Constitution as fundamental laws, and under this head, he went back to the old Saxon laws and to the Magna Carta and the 50 confirmations of it in Parliament and the execrations ordained against the violators of it and the national vengeance which had been taken on them from time to time, down to the Jameses and Charleses and to the Petition of Rights and the Bill of Rights and the Revolution. He asserted that the security of these rights to life, liberty, and property. And now folks perhaps begin to, if they hadn't before, understand why some are so upset about the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration of Independence. He asserted that the security of these rights to life, liberty, and property had been the object of all those struggles against arbitrary power. This is a sentiment that we see echoing over and over throughout Western history. James Otis asserted that the security of these rights to life, liberty, and property had been the object of all those struggles against arbitrary power, temporal and spiritual, civil and political, military and ecclesiastical in every age. That sounds familiar. Where have I heard that language before? Hayek's Road to Serfdom, Chapter 2. To the great apostles of political freedom, the word had meant freedom from coercion, freedom from the arbitrary power of other men, release from the ties which left the individual no choice but obedience to the orders of a superior to whom he was attached. I don't know about you, but that kind of freedom is very enticing. It's very, I long for that. What concept? Anyway, we'll continue when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. He asserted that the security of these rights to life, liberty, and property had been the object of all those struggles against arbitrary power, temporal and spiritual, civil and political, military and ecclesiastical in every age. Is that what we teach our young people who join the military? The security of these rights to life, liberty, and property, which has been the object of all the struggles against arbitrary power, temporal and spiritual, civil and political, military and ecclesiastical in every age. That's what joining the military is all about, right? Oh, but it's not. Because the military in its current iteration is an aberration in Article 1, Section 8 sort of fashion, right? Congress has the authority to declare war, grant letters of mark and reprisal, and make rules concerning captures on land and water, to raise and support armies. Now, see, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be for a longer term than 2 years. Gosh, where would we be if we stuck to that? We'd be at peace with people, you know. To back up, though, if you're a parent, you'll understand this. Parents, we've all had those moments where, you know, you see a child, their head, you know, we tell them, go get your head screwed. Your head's not screwed on straight. What do we mean when we say stuff like that? Their thinking is warped. Their perspective is wrong. They need to take a step back maybe and gain a deeper understanding of how their thoughts, their motivation, their intention, their thinking is screwed up, and it's not, it's preventing them from proceeding forward on a right and proper course. And so that's basically why I respectfully disagreed with Ed in Utah on Friday when I guest hosted the National Intel Report. It's not that what he was saying is not important. I agree. But like I said then, it's to me of secondary importance. If we don't understand, if we're not intimately familiar with the authentic, for starters, are we? Again, is this just some sort of game? Are we just having fun? Or was what James Otis said important? I mean, look what happened. Was John Adams right? Was James Otis the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men? If that's true, these things that John Adams remind us, these heads of James Otis discourse that John Adams is recalling some 57 years later, is this important information? Does it really come down to this sort of sentiment? The security of these rights to life, liberty, and property had been the object of all those struggles against arbitrary power, temporal and spiritual, civil and political, military and ecclesiastical in every age. You know, seems to me this is the sort of spirit that had been passed on here and there. You hear it in echoes. People like Lysander Spooner, for example. Oh, that's, you know, that's radical. Is it? Desire not to be, to want not to be coerced, manipulated. If we're going to, you and I, if we're going to enter some deal together, that's fine. But let's make the terms above board. Let's not employ sophistry and, you know, Machiavellian intrigue and deception. Why is that so hard to agree on? Why does there always have to be, you know, a taking advantage of others? Again, in William Devil, Bill Livingston Rockefeller / Dewey Oxberger fashion. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. It's Monday, July 23rd, 2018. And phone lines are open, by the way. 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. I think it all comes down to this in America. You know, if you could get this concept once again sort of not irrevocably, but something along those lines lodged in the hearts of men and minds of men, then, you know, you begin to see perhaps why Samuel Adams talked about this concept of brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. You sort of imagine a zombie mob. It's not something that people can you actually have to spend time ruminating on this kind of subject matter, I think. And it's interesting. It's the same sort of propaganda that we hear in socialism and communism, but from a not from a warped perspective. Just, you know, leave people alone. What's wrong with that? Why do people have to be taken advantage of? Somewhere someone has to be taken advantage of. Why? It's that simple, you know? Be the security of these rights to life, liberty, and property have been the object of all those struggles against arbitrary power, temporal and spiritual, civil and political, military and ecclesiastical in every age. It's really that simple. And some who may be following might say, okay, I hear what you're saying. The letter to Hezekiah Niles, the two, you know, John Adams wrote to William Tudor, June 1 and June 9. But that's not all, because John Adams says, you know, that he will continue on. He closed the letter June 1. I shall pursue this subject in a short series of letters. So that's June 1. June 9 is not a short series of letters. It's one. And I would say, yes, it's a jumping off point. And hopefully to pique people's interest, we're spoon-fed everything in this society, which I think is crippling. So, you know, in an effort not to cripple, but to, I don't know, empower, for lack of a better word, go read it. See what you think. Maybe I'm wrong. Ed in Utah disagreed with me on Friday, which is fine, and I respectfully disagree with him. I believe that what he said is important, but I believe it to be secondarily important, not of primary importance. I think this stuff comes first, which I believe is why when you read some of the things that the founders wrote, you don't hear people singled out in the sort of way. You don't. You hear a general homage to certain concepts, whether right or wrong. So anyway, continuing with what John Adams wrote about James Otis. He asserted that our ancestors as British subjects and we, their descendants as British subjects, were entitled to all those rights by the British Constitution as well as by the law of nature and our provincial charter as much as any inhabitant of London or Bristol or any part of England, and were not to be cheated out of them by any phantom of virtual representation, quote unquote, or any other fiction of law or politics, or any monkish trick or deceit and hypocrisy. There's some studying that needs to be done. And then we hold fast to what is right and true. And, you know, the rest, I think, will sort itself out, sort of like what John Adams wrote. So lastly, in this June 1 letter, John Adams wrote, James Otis then examined the acts of trade one by one and demonstrated that if they were considered as revenue laws, they destroyed all our security of property, liberty, and life, every right of nature, and the English Constitution and the charter of the province. I think we could make the same point about today's administrative fourth branch. Very easily, you know, this contractual nonsense, as he put it, you know, a phantom of virtual representation, any other fiction of law, a monkish trick or deceit and hypocrisy. I started the Friday's National Intel Report broadcast Friday with the provocative observation, I think. You have John Adams saying, writing, I think, to Abigail, right, that there is something very unnatural and odious in a government 1,000 leagues off. He continued, a whole government of our own choice Is that what we have today? No. You know, Philip Drew administrator is one of the biggest problems. Again, read James P. Hill's article published back in 1986 in the John Marshall Law Review, The Third House versus the Fourth Branch. The impact of congressional committee staff on agency regulatory decision making. Read that. It's short. It's like 15 or 17 pages. Anyway, there's something very unnatural and odious in a government 1,000 leagues off. A whole government of our own choice, managed by persons whom we love, revere, and can confide in, has charms in it for which men will fight. John Adams to Abigail Adams, May 17, 1776. So my question on Friday on the National Intel Report in that context was, if we took a survey of the legitimate voting populace, if you will, what percentage of those folks would you say had met their elected representatives outside some politically opportune moment? You know, not at some campaign rally, not at some, you know, deal like that, but I don't know. Folks rolling up their sleeves, sitting down with folks. I mean, I've met some folks. Phil Hart is one guy that I've, you know, talked to outside of politics, essentially. And there are others. Just one that comes to mind. But usually it's some politically opportune, you know, moment. And I quipped on Friday, everything is really a politically opportune moment for some politicians. Anyway, how many folks, what's the percentage, would you say? I would say it's abysmally small. Think about that. And we played the Reagan clip in the first hour, Reagan's Time for Choosing speech, which I think is a companion sort of piece to the John Adams quote. You know, this is the issue, he said. Well, backing up, he said, this idea that government is beholden to the people, that it has no other source of power except the sovereign people, is still the newest and most unique idea in all the long history of man's relation to man. That was 1964. Reagan on the Goldwater campaign trail. A Time for Choosing, it's now known as. And there were allegedly his remarks, his sort of extemporaneous remarks, but, you know, I have a hard time believing that. I don't think Reagan wrote that. Anyway, but he said this is the issue of this election. It's always the issue, though, whether we believe in our capacity for self-government or whether we abandon the American Revolution and confess that a little intellectual elite in a far distant capital can plan our lives for us better than we can plan them ourselves. Are technocrats more, you know, they have more of a fiduciary obligation to your well-being? Come on. So how many folks? John Adams says there is something very unnatural and odious in a government 1,000 leagues off. How many folks? You know, getting back to this issue of representation. Virtual representation was the term that John Adams used in a letter to William Tudor in 1818. Do we have virtual representation today? So here's the point, and we'll go to the phones. How can someone whom you've never met, someone that hasn't met you, hasn't met the vast majority of their constituency, how can that person possibly properly represent the interest of their constituents? And in many cases, they are, shall we say, socially or socioeconomically removed in a variety of ways from the daily realities of their constituency. How is it possible that we would in any way imagine a person like that to represent the interests of their constituency. Isn't that just laughable to think about? Someone you've never met. You know, you think about relationships. How difficult is it to cultivate a relationship? It takes a lifetime. And somehow we're supposed to imagine that a person you've never met can represent your interests at all. This to me sounds like what John Adams referred to as a phantom of virtual representation. That's to me hyperbole. It's sort of redundant, but I think it's, you know, to convey a point. Sounds like we're there again in America. We've been hoodwinked. And again, I would hang my years of broadcasting on the 2 hours guest hosting the National Intel Report last Friday. Let's go to the phones and grab James in Kansas. James, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, I was in the Army. When we go to the mess hall, we would always have to tell this guy called a head count whether our prefix on our service number. And I was wondering if that has something to do with that requirement in the Constitution for them not having a standing army in excess of 2 years. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Like U.S., we were only in for 2 years, but if you were RA, yeah, like I was dumb enough to be, I was in for 3 years.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Anyway.
I don't know, but yeah.
Ever since I've been listening to Constitutional Talk Radio, I've been intrigued by that. And because after a while, you know everybody, because you stand behind them in chow line and stuff like that, you know the ones that were stupid enough to join the Army and the ones that were usually have a little more brains that got drafted. But
yeah.
I will discontinue my discourse and just listen.
I think it's worth repeating. Would you mind restating that? I think it's worth investigating. I definitely probably...
Right, okay. When I went in the Army, I was in for 3 years, and every time I went in the mess hall at 8, I would have to tell this guy called a head count, who usually was at least a buck sergeant, what my prefix was on my service number. In my case, it was RA because I was joining the Army. Okay, but the guys that were National Guard were NG, and the ER was Army Reserves, and U.S. were the ones that were drafted. And there's a difference between the United States Army and the Army of the United States. And it has something to do with the constitutional requirement for the government not to have a standing army for more than 2 years. That's why they only drafted you for 2 years. But if you were foolish enough to join to avoid being drafted for two, you would end up with a different serial number.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have a great love for Constitutional Talk Radio. That's where everything I know about the Constitution I learned from listening to talk radio.
So right on.
Maybe somebody that had some more experience than the people that were living off post and stuff like that, if they came to the mess hall, they would have to cough up like 50 cents or something to eat lunch in the mess hall. But anyway, I enjoy your program very much.
Thank
and
you, James.
You have allowed me to break my Alex Jones habit. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen to someone else.
All right, I appreciate
it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, James. Bye. Great point. Excellent point. You know, that's a point that I haven't specifically investigated over the years, but I think that James's suspicion is well-founded. I don't think there's any doubt, really. It's always that sort of sophistry, and we can trace that through administrative hijinks. You can see that, you know, for anyone who's investigated the 14th Amendment nonsense, for example, and really, you know, I mean, anything in that same sort of cast, I believe the 13th goes along with it, the 16th Amendment and the sophistry. I think it's interesting that, you know, places like the St. Louis Fed, I mentioned, you know, they brag on their page who owns the Federal Reserve Banks. The Federal Reserve Banks are not part of the federal government. And then you have the picture, the painting, looks like a watercolor, depicting Woodrow Wilson signing the Federal Reserve Act on December 23rd, 1919 as a brag. Bad guys are bragging. And so it's always a sort of sophistry. You look at the through the looking glass, down the rabbit hole language of the 14th Amendment. And to me, it's exactly what James is referring to. It's what bad guys have done. You know, you create the fictional aberration and then, you know, tell people you're going to give them special privileges that they don't need. But, you know, which reminds me of that 1875 case, Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Daring, with the language that was referred to, you know, Justice Brandeis in 1919 quoted the language and said, "These general rules are well settled to preface." I'll explain what I mean in the next segment. But the point is, I think James's suspicion is absolutely right. Without conclusive proof or evidence, I would just say I think you're absolutely right, James. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate?
Welcome back. I will just leave it at this. We're closing in on the end of the broadcast. Look it up. The Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Daring, 1875, when the state creates rights in individuals against itself. What does that mean? The 14th Amendment created a new citizenship status, expanded its jurisdiction. You know, Wikipedia says it was adopted July 9, 1868 as one of the Reconstruction Amendments. Reconstruction. What happened then? So 150 years later, are there still folks waiting for their mule and 40 acres? Why do we still need that? You know, look that up. Privileges, Section 1, Privileges and Immunities Clause. Interesting. Civil rights. What are those? Have we looked at the slaughterhouse cases lately? The Section 4 is very provocative. Read the 14th Amendment, Section 4. I'm always reminded of that when people say, you know, the national debt, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, back to the phones. William in Montana, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris.
Good morning, sir.
What a great endorsement. I mean, anyone who can give you credit for helping you overcome, helping them overcome their Alex Jones addiction. I mean, wow. I mean, you can go to sleep tonight and say, a job well done. I mean, that's
dignity, that civility, and decorum may indeed prevail.
Maybe. Yeah. So, anyway, I've been in over my head, as you can imagine, with all the stuff, the Helsinki thing and the aftermath. And it's really kept me, given me a lot of sleepless nights. But I think that there's a lot to say about it. But I think that clarity is starting to emerge. Unfortunately, it's only emerging on one side of this thing, and there has, you know, I feel the rift widening in our country. I think we, you know, if you can say, well, if we don't stop this, we're going to have another civil war. Well, I actually think the next civil war is already started.
Yeah, me too.
And it has to be, I mean, we just have to redouble our effort to make sure that we stand strong in what we truly believe. That's the only way that we'll get through this. So
exactly.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate your effort.
Thank you, William. I appreciate it. And I couldn't agree more. And I think, you know, time is urgent. And that's why I think, you know, Friday's National Intel report was it. I mean, those are the, that's kind of the jumping off point. And, you know, John Adams tells us, hey, it didn't take long for all of these people to unite together in common cause for liberty, basically. And so why would we try to reinvent that wheel, folks? Why wouldn't we become acquainted with that authentic original and then see what happens? I mean, that's, to me, I see no better course of action. So that's why I'm just leaving it all there. Anyway, I appreciate it, William. As always, folks, I hope it was informative. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.